Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI.
And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. Listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We're the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to this Monday morning trending edition of Der Daily Zeitgeist, a production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness. And in this particular episode, we tell you what's been trending, what's been up with us. Check in. It's over Monday morning for us. Yep. My name is Jack O'Brien. That is Miles Gray.
Yep.
Yeah.
Here we are.
Yeah. All right so far. Correct.
Yep. So far. Okay. Check. Yep. No lies detected.
So this is an episode where we dig into the things that were trending over the weekend.
That's right.
And also get to know you a little bit better by telling you a little bit something about ourselves by getting into a little overrated, underrated. So let's kick off. Should we kick off with an overrated?
Yeah.
Overrated.
Yeah.
Okay. You want me to start?
Why don't you kick it off, Vinatieri?
Kick it off Vinatieri style. Mm-hmm. So I was listening to the Action Boys podcast over the weekend.
Gamers.
And yeah, it's the John Gabers podcast. It's a Patreon show. It's very good. And like a thing that comes up a lot with them is that these movies, all like these 80s action movies that I was raised on, all have hero cops in them.
Right.
Like that is a significant genre of public figure. And right. I was totally prepared for that would just be like, all right, so like of the 100 famous people I know, probably 20 of them will be hero cops. Mm-hmm. Like a lot of the movies just start off with somebody who's already like Tango and Cash. I think before the plot of the movie even really kicks in, they are both like hero, well-known household name cops.
Right.
Essentially.
Because I feel like even the trailers revealed that were like, Detective blah 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 is on, you know, one of the most hard hitting detectives on the force. Yeah, it's never just like, here's some schlub.
Yeah. I know they think you're a real hot shot, but you're still in my department, pal.
Like, exactly.
You know, everybody knows your name. And it's just wild. Like, this is something we talk about on tomorrow's episode with Sarah Marshall from You're Wrong About.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when there's a movie myth that they like really want to be true, they will usually be able to find a single example in the news that they can then like blow out of proportion, right?
Right.
Like there's a robbery, robbery's out of control, you know, shoplifting's out of control. There's a crime ring that you should be afraid of. But like we talk about it with Sarah in the context of human trafficking, but It's also wild just like that there are no, like they want hero cops to happen so bad.
Right.
Wild that we don't have like any lasting hero cop figure. Like there's no Sullenberger of the police force.
I feel like the most well-known police are the disgraced ones.
Yeah, disgraced. And you will hear like hero cop used when there's like a fallen police officer, but there's nobody who's just like, this guy really like did an amazing job of police work and busted the crime ring and like did this really brave thing that we happened to catch on camera. Yeah. Like never.
Or you'll read a headline like Domino's pizza delivery guy like saves child from burning house. You know what I mean? Like it's always like, holy shit, dude, what'd that guy do?
Hero Domino's pizza delivery guy. But when we see the video of the actual crises, the cops tend to be the ones running the other direction.
Yeah. It's like there is no real life John McClane, you know, that, or is it just because I think we're so, I have a feeling it must be like the evolution of like the war hero from yesteryear that we slowly morphed. We use that sort of analogy or that example of like a violent man who was heroic and then slowly mapped that onto the police. Because back then, I mean, you know, there were plenty of like war heroes. They'd be like, this one guy fought off 20 Germans or whatever. And they're like they were household names to like our grandparents.
It stands to reason that that would have translated to back home. Unfortunately, the police force is a just rotten to the fucking core institution that makes it impossible to sustain. Like, it's just like, every time we, the local news with like very little journalistic integrity, every time we take a look at them, it like doesn't hold up. Hero cop.
We're missing the World War II here. I was just thinking of that guy, Audie Murphy. Do you know him?
Like tiny guy who like took out 40 Germans. Nazi,
solo one guy on 80 Germans type story. And that was, I remember an older guy like shaming me for not knowing who that was.
You don't know Audie Murphy?
You don't know Audie Murphy? And I was like, dude, what the fuck are you doing, man? I'm trying to buy a book on tantric sex, dude. What the fuck is this? Anyway. Yeah,
you wouldn't have made that mistake if you were Irish. That's the first name they teach us when we're born. St. Patrick and Audie Murphy.
Yeah, right. Oh, God. Well, look, we all have cultural blind spots, don't we? My overrated is one of my favorites, James Carville. Because old Carville, oh boy, there's a headline here that he just gave an interview. And my boy, he sat down with the New York Times and said a bunch of old dribble out of his old snake spout. He said, a suspicion of mine is that there are too many preachy females. Don't drink beer. What? Don't watch football. Don't eat hamburgers. This is not good for you, he said. The message is too feminine. Everything you're doing is destroying the planet. You've got to eat your peas. This guy's lost the fucking plot. Holy he goes on. Shit. If you listen to the Democratic elites, NPR is my go-to place for that. The whole talk is about how women and women of color are going to decide this election. I'm like, well, 48% of the people that vote are males. Do you mind if they have some consideration? Dude, he goes on and on and on about this shit. It's just like, wow. Please, y'all, put this old fucking creature to bed. Stop asking him questions. He is a sentient alligator from the Busquio that you put in a mic in front of. He's like, I got some opinions on females in the politics. Yeah. Dude, get him out.
Give him an Animal Planet show where he's going around on a fan boat, just, you know, describing nature that he sees.
Him on a fan boat describing alligators as female. Oh, that's a female. That one over there? Yeah, look right there. Look right there.
You can tell.
That's a female. Here, bring
over
here. You
can tell by the way she's looking at me.
Yeah, you're like, what? Is this an animal show? It just sounds like he's hot for gators. James Carville's hot for gators show. And this one won't tell me that I'm destroying the earth and I need to consider them. It's like, dude, do you understand patriarchy at all? Do you understand how set in stone a lot of male voting patterns are? Do you understand how important the issue, I'm sorry, but there are no existential threats in the form of bills and laws that affect men, cisgendered men at the moment.
Right.
So to be like, can we get some consideration too? Like, for what? You're not oppressed? Like, and you're talking about what's motivating, he's so upset at the idea that there are motivating forces that would bring women to the polls or uterus havers to the polls that he's just like, I can't, who's going to talk about us? What about the hamburger agenda? It's right. Like, what? Shut up, dude.
Underrepresented NFL enjoying beer drinking demographic.
And they dominate.
I remember when that was the only thing you need to do. Be someone you could have a beer with.
Have a beer with. And then you could do war crimes. That's all it took. If you could crack a beer, then you could strike fear into the hearts of millions and take untold amounts of life. But yeah, he said like they're taking over the culture of the Democratic Party. So again, this is like something when as we get like, you know, as we move on and progress occurs and people are fixed, you're like, oh, right. James Carville's like at best center right. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
This kind of take a feeling. And
yeah, he's
this,
like Clintonian like, Democrat.
Yeah.
Of course.
And he's still people still point to him as if like what he has to say is. OK, he helped Clinton win in 92.
Yeah.
That's 32 years ago. That's a
we gotta talk about
Johnson.
Super Predator.
Yeah. Anyway, but that one's a female there, that gator. You could tell. You could tell.
Jungle cat. That's exactly. The fish that you're pointing at.
I get it. Anyway, but yeah, as I said, lower the snake nipples, that man. And he just need to go slither away into his little hidey hole.
Yeah. The New York Times still being like, what about this guy? He might have something, a fresh perspective on things.
We asked a horny old alligator what he thinks about the state of the Democratic Party. Thanks.
Dems in disarray. Yeah.
Hell yeah.
I mean, he knows. They do love to talk about that. But.
And he's the one that'll give it to you every time. But again, it's because that's like he's like a hater on the outside and doesn't. His opinion is irrelevant at this point, and it has been for a long time.
Hate on the outside, gator on the inside.
That's what I'm saying, but we need to put some limitations on how many gator quotes we get from elderly gators. I think they don't have much to add to the discussion or discourse.
All right. My underrated, just keeping it very simple.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of animal is this? Videos?
What do you mean?
on like Twitter? Or is it particularly what kind of fish is this to always hit for me? Like, you know, that I've linked one in the doc where it's looks like a shark that someone has crudely, you know, used AI to Photoshop like human kissy lips onto, like
those are lips.
Kissy lips, and just like trying to like. But it's in fact a sturgeon.
Oh,
and that's
yeah.
A thing their lips can do for some reason is just
like a xenomorph.
Into, yeah,
like a mini mouth come out further.
Yeah, like it truly. A lot of the shit that you find with this, or you know, is just looks like an alien symbiote, or you know. A koi wearing a Skeletor mask, but that's just right. Like what is printed on his head for some reason. But I don't know. That's nature is really like will surprise you, especially if you don't. So here's my advice: don't learn about nature. Just go encounter it by going fishing or you know going on a wildlife tour. I don't know, but it's. I just remember fishing when I was a kid. And catching things that you didn't know existed and didn't know like could exist. Like it was like conjured from a nightmare.
Yeah.
And you're like, yeah, no, that lurks at the bottom of the sea. That's just what lives down there. That really like in water is where some of the wildest shit. And like sometimes there's just like what looks like a puddle of slime, but it's like crawling toward you. Like that's the thing that you see a lot. And I don't like it, but I do. It makes me feel small and makes the world feel enormous and makes me be like, maybe we don't need to find aliens.
I don't like it.
They're here.
I don't like it. I don't like ugly animals. They freak me out. I remember seeing a mud skipper for the first time. And like, I only knew it from Ren and Stimpy. Like as a cartoon thing from like the Ren and Stimpy show. And I was like, that ain't a real fucking thing. And then I saw like an actual mud skipper and I was like, this is a fucking abomination. And
that's
it's
a fish that can like crawl up into the mud.
Yeah. Yeah.
And skip around gaily.
Skip around. Kind of like one of James Carville's favorite kind of people to hang out with. Just a old mud skipper. Getting up out
of
mud.
Old mud skipper.
Yeah.
Newt Gingrich. That old mud skipper.
That old mud skipper. He hornier than a newborn mud skipper. What? Wait, what? A newborn mud skipper. These are colloquialism that only you know when you hang out with Carvel. But yeah, no, I don't know. There's sometimes when I see, like, I do like the majesty of the animal kingdom. But sometimes, like, the visuals of them do give me a bit of creeps.
Yeah.
Ick.
Yeah, as no, for
say.
Sure. There's a couple that I've been enjoying in the past week that are, I'm not sure I ever got a consensus opinion on what it was, but they just like cast a, some bait into like a little mud hole on the side of a river and just a fucking beast the size of like a small Honda Civic just swims out of the hole and like gets hooked on. And then there's another one where it's just looks like a catfish, but then you get to its face and it's just got like the net. Like 15 fangs like poking out of its jaws. It's just gross. Wild. Yeah. And then there's like some good Jaws style like shark videos that I'm starting to see that I don't know.
You're just coming full circle. You're embracing your inner child again.
I am. It's making me feel young, which I need at this time.
Have you gone to the Aquarium of the Pacific with your kids in
Aquarium
Long Beach?
Of the Pacific in Long Beach. Yes. We've been there a number of times. Yeah. That's a blast. Yeah.
I feel like you'd probably like, you just go and like knock on a door. I'm like, is there something I can talk about? Like sharks? Kind of tell me about shark stuff really quick.
They're hey,
like,
is there anybody here that, but no, I don't want to hear what you have to say. I just want to like talk about sharks. Like,
how
cool they are.
I just need
have
to get some shit
video?
Off my chest.
Have you, I have about 30 questions that are all, have you seen this video?
Like, yeah.
Have you seen this video?
Well, you keep showing me like handheld camera phone footage that you took inside the theater when you're watching The Meg. I'm sorry, what is your question exactly? Where is this thing? How do we get one?
That aquarium tank is that big one when you walk in, and sometimes they're cleaning it and you can see like how big the fish are next to the humans inside. Yeah. And it's like, oh, that sea bass could swallow a human if it wanted to.
Right.
Like, thing fucking doesn't make sense.
Easily eat your leg very casually.
Yeah. How about you, Maz? What's something you think is underrated?
I think we're underrating people who don't know a fucking thing about sports.
Oh,
I'm in a few brackets for March Madness. There are a couple where people are getting absolutely pieced up by people who are like just pulled in like last minute.
Yeah, yeah.
Who are like, even admittedly, their team names like for their bracket is I don't know sports. Another one's like I never watch college basketball. Just to like rub it in. And these people, the accuracy of their brackets is unbelievable.
Yeah.
Like the upsets that they somehow picked and then like just they're netting out to like 98% accuracy.
Yeah.
It's blowing my mind. And I feel like there aren't enough studies as to why someone who can just look at a fucking bracket, know nothing about anything, just like maybe essentially like they've heard of these universities and then pick the winners of them. I don't know what it is, if there's like a wisdom of the uninitiated or someone who is not like, you know, weighed down by like not like seeing too much basketball or like reading too much analyses about basketball, but there's something magical that happens, I think, and every person who's ever been in like a bracket, like in an office pool or something, or like there's always the person who's like, yeah, I just kind of, I don't know. Like, I just like this state. My grandma's from there and my uncle's from this, went to this school.
Right.
So I just kind of rode them to like the end. And you're like, how?
Yeah.
How? Is there a way to replicate this? Or is this just some kind of weird phenomenon in our society that we have to deal with?
Yeah. I feel like the partially it's explained by the fact that like there are way more people who don't know shit about college basketball, especially now than before. Like, I used to be a college basketball fan. I don't know shit now. I'm just
I vibe mine out
at the wall. Yeah.
I vibe mine out and I'm doing okay. Admittedly, but there are people who are like, I never heard of North Carolina as being a basketball university in my life.
Yeah. Ooh, that's
and you're
a
like,
pretty color.
Holy shit.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That was, I think everyone has heard that version of like, I'm just picking off the uniforms that I like.
Yeah.
And maybe that is a better version. But anyway, all that to say is I salute the people that engage with these things. And like, I don't know if it's driving me mad, but I'm more amazed at how consistent this phenomenon is whenever it's like been a World Cup pool, fucking March Madness pool, anything like that, where people who are like, I don't know anything, but like this is my, these are my feelings and they're accurate.
Yeah. I mean, everybody talks about that octopus that was always able to pick the World Cup, but that octopus was actually a huge football fan. So
yeah,
like, people don't mention that.
Massive football fan. And like, also massive gambling debt, that octopus.
It's fucked.
Yeah. There's a reason we don't hear from that octopus anymore.
Yeah. I am 9th out of 15 in my office pool right now. So
in my
killing
highest performing pool, I'm in 4th, but I'm tied with like 16 people in 4th.
Wow. It's a big pool.
Yeah. A little over 20 something.
Okay. I'm not mad. I'm not mad that I am fucking this up so badly.
Hey, aren't you supposed to know stuff about basketball, dude? Dude, just shut up, man. I don't know. Fuck.
Do you have like a podcast or something?
No. It's about podcast. The NBA. It's about the NBA. Not this crap. Okay?
Yeah. This crap. All right. Let's take a quick break and we'll come back and talk news.
Do you want to hear about the $100 wedding dress that just saved Abercrombie?
Or the tech acquisition that was just like Game of Thrones?
Or the one financial equation that can solve climate change?
Then check out our daily podcast, The Best One Yet, or as we call it, T-Boy.
This is Nick.
This is Jack.
And we pick the three most interesting business news stories every day for the perfect mix.
20 minutes each morning, you're going to feel brighter.
We call it Pop Biz, don't we, Jack?
Where pop culture meets business news. So whether you want to kick off a conversation with your buddies,
or you're going for that promotion at work,
or you just want to know the trends before your friends,
feel brighter by starting your morning with us every weekday.
Listen to The Best One Yet on the Wondery app or wherever you get your pods.
You can listen to The Best One Yet ad-free right now on Wondery Plus. For more deep dive and daily business content, listen on Wondery, the destination for business podcasts.
With shows like The Best One Yet, How I Built This, and many more, Wondery means business.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV true crime podcast, To Live and Die in LA. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What up? I am Dramos, host of the Life as a Gringo podcast. Now, this is a show for the No Sabo kids, the 200%ers. Here we celebrate your otherness and embrace living in the gray area. If you ever felt like you were always too much this while also never being enough that, this is the podcast for you. Every Tuesday, I'll be bringing you conversations around personal growth, issues affecting the Latin community, and much more via my own personal stories, along with interviews with inspiring thought leaders from our community. Then, every Thursday, I'll be tackling trending stories and current events from our community that you need to know. So much of what makes our community so beautiful is our diversity, yet too often, those of us who don't fit into this dumb, stereotypical box of whatever it means to be Latino are left without a voice or just forgotten about. On this show, I celebrate the uniqueness of our culture and invite you to walk in your authenticity. Listen to Life as a Gringo as a part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back.
Mm-hmm.
And Boeing. Finally, you know, a victory for the little guys, except not quite. The Boeing CEO, Dave Calhoun, announced he is stepping down for reasons that should be pretty obvious. And you know, this might remind you of when this exact same thing happened in 2019, when the mm-hmm. Boeing CEO stepped down in disgrace after their planes started falling apart.
Yeah. The beginning of the Max 737 drama.
Yes.
When they first entered our minds. Yeah.
So they were like, we better get this Dave Calhoun guy in here to fix this thing up, get things running ship shape. If the ship is the Titanic, mm-hmm. you know, did a good job.
Yeah.
But he claimed in an email that the Alaska Airlines incident was a watershed moment for Boeing. Said the eyes of the world are on us. We are going to fix what isn't working. We are going to get our company back on the track toward recovery and stability. And that, therefore I'm leaving.
Really?
That's actually not my thing. I'm more of a like kind of leave a thing broken that's already broken type guy.
On the way there, some people took some cash. Some people made out with some cash. But yeah, and some people crashed. That's the other hard part.
It's kind of what. So his predecessor, Dennis Muhlenberg, was also forced to resign in disgrace following two crashes in 2019. At one point, it was believed that his compensation would total $39 million, or roughly 270 times what the company is paying out to family members who lost a loved one in the MAX 737 crashes.
That's not enough.
Once people like caught on to that, things changed and he ended up walking away with $62 million more somehow, because Boeing is just unaccountable to anyone.
Holy shit. Like, then the shareholders are like, hey, I don't know if we need to give that guy fucking $62 million.
Yeah.
Yeah, why not? One day it could be me and I want a golden parachute to sail back down to Earth on.
As for the ones that could actually be us, did a little math based off of the $39 million being 270 times what the company's paying out. Quick maths, and that means that people were paid $144,000 people dying for their incompetence.
Can they should come out and explain their math here. They're like, okay, a victim of our negligence, that one life is worth $144,000.
Yeah.
Now me, the person who is responsible for the untold horrors, I get $62 million to go away and buy a new boat.
I took the risk of taking this really difficult job, and which there's absolutely no liability for me, only for the corporation that I am now leaving and getting paid extremely well to leave.
Really,
you
interesting.
Guys only took the risk of, you know, possibly dying in the plane crash.
Exactly. So, but anyway, check my boat out, the 737 MAX. A little bit tongue in cheek, but I figure I got to give it up to the source of this boat. But I like how the outgoing CEO is like, the Alaska Airlines thing was a watershed moment for Boeing. And then you find out the FBI has been contacting passengers on that Alaska Airlines flight and say, quote, I'm contacting you because we have identified you as a possible victim of a crime.
That first of all, that sounds like a scam. It's not, but like if I got
hello, I'm from the FBI.
I'm contacting you because we have identified, like, they need to work on their copy to keep it like one step ahead of whoever's writing the spam emails.
Yeah.
But so the Justice Department has opened a criminal investigation into whether the panel blowout violated terms of a 2021 settlement that let Boeing avoid prosecution for allegedly misleading regulators who certified the 737 MAX. So there were rules from the previous fuck up that led to their previous CEO getting ousted. And those rules that were put in place might have been violated in this instance where the fucking door blew off. So
yikes. Well,
yikes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
God, you're always like, yeah, maybe there's some kind of karmic debt here. And it's like, I don't know. Yeah. Here's millions of dollars to just leave. And the merry-go-round continues.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the payout though to the victims, to the families of the victims. Crazy that it's that much smaller.
I've also read things that are like, Boeing might not survive without help. It's like, then that's their fucking fate.
Yes. Right.
Don't dip into our fucking pockets being like, we got to prop this fucking company up.
Yeah.
No, you don't.
Yeah. Let them fall and then, you know, prop up other non-monopolistic companies that haven't captured regulators.
Yeah, but I think it's, but who knows, because it is one of two major airline manufacturers, like, and the other being German, they're going to be like, ah, man, we're going to have to kind of fucking keep this fucker up, man.
Fucker.
Oh, boy. Or no, French. I'm sorry. Airbus is French. Pardon me. Pardonnez-moi, actually, is what I should have said.
All right. Over the weekend, Joe Biden avoided a potential partial government shutdown by signing a $1.2 trillion package of spending bills, which included more money for cancer research, mental health funding, an expansion of access to child care, and sounds pretty Joseph. Good. No reason to keep going. Oh, wait. Also, $3.3 billion for Israel.
But they were just saying that they said they better watch out or they're not going to be so nice to Netanyahu.
Yeah, they said Netanyahu was cruising for a bruising while winking at him. And
And going, no. But then be like, whoa, shaking his fist.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. And also the other really fucked up part about this was that they're banning funding for the UN Relief and Works Agency for Palestinian Refugees. As we always say, UNRWA or UNRWA, you probably see that abbreviation. Until 2025.
Yeah.
And this, when the stories first came out about how they were going to pull funding because Israeli intelligence had determined that a group of people working with that agency had participated in the October 7th attacks, that was a huge blow to the people that are in Palestine right now, because those are the only people that are providing aid, essentially. Yeah. Like, most of the population relies on this group for food, for aid. And if there's no funding going there, that is going to be catastrophic. When already, even prior to this, people were saying, dude, we've never seen famine, the likelihood of famine ramp up at a pace that we're seeing right now in Gaza. And
it seems like it's engineered famine. Like, it seems like it's...
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
How is there not going to be famine if this is the plan?
Right.
You know?
Yeah, especially with a new announcement of like their policy that they're saying, we're not going to allow any food in.
Right.
Oh. For what reason? We don't, none given at the time of the reporting.
Yeah. I mean, the reason that they've given is they claimed that the UNRWA had like members who participated in the attack.
Right. That logic. Sure.
And like, so. First of all, like that quote about like this is the only way for people to get aid, to get food right now. That, like, that's the whole population is relying on that, like, comes from The Guardian, you know?
Yeah.
There's this article about that claim that UNRWA employees participated in the attacks. There's an article in The Wall Street Journal that is like, oh, no, but U.S. intelligence reports assessed low confidence that a handful of staff had participated in the attack, indicating that it considered the accusation to be credible, though it could not confirm their veracity.
Yeah, that's a big issue, especially when the reports that we did hear about, when they said, well, how do you know that these people participated? They're like, oh, they admitted to it after being tortured.
Yeah, it was torture. They used torture in the interrogation, which isn't that, and that's doesn't work. I was
alive for the war on terror and the subsequent fallout around CIA black sites and the use of torture. And what was the assessment that even the CIA gave? It was a counterproductive tactic and was not an effective means of intelligence gathering.
Right.
And we're using that. And I'm not, you know, there could have been people that did that, but does that actually mean that the entire group as a whole now is saying, oh yeah, yeah. Cause if we're doing the one bad apple thing, then we got a lot of things to throw out with this logic.
Right.
If it's purely like, oh yeah, a couple people, but the whole entire organization that's been providing aid since 1949 has to now completely like be gutted of funding.
Right.
That does not make sense. But yeah, I mean, and now the latest thing we've heard is now, I think Kamala Harris said something to the effect of like, you know, if they go through with like an invasion or like attack in Rafah, like that, you know, consequences, we haven't ruled out any consequences or kinds of consequences if the Israelis follow through with that threat. But I'm not sure what those consequences are. They haven't really been articulated. And when you see aid packages still being pushed through and funding, I'm hard pressed to see that these are tangible consequences, or at least it's just purely rhetoric. And it's fucking disturbing. This is, well, we're talking about fucking famine.
Yeah.
And people are blocking aid trucks from going in. And it's just like, I don't know. That's the stance of the government.
They specifically said they're not letting aid in. And this is the only way, like based on credible reporting, this is the only way the people inside Palestine are getting or surviving. And Israel has openly said that they won't allow the aid in. It's a true fucking crisis.
Yeah.
And
we're just still getting rhetoric. Little shifts in rhetoric rather than like real tangible things. And it's just like weird because even in the last over the weekend, like Gavin Newsom's like suddenly like, I'm actually for a ceasefire. And like other people are being like, I'm actually for a ceasefire. So it's just like really, it's grotesque to see politicians playing politics when they see that they're like, oh, that's not a popular stance to have, which is to be like, I don't know, let them do whatever they want.
This is
even if it's at the expense of innocent life. Like,
All right, let's take a quick break and we'll be back.
Do you want to hear about the $100 wedding dress that just saved Abercrombie?
Or the tech acquisition that was just like Game of Thrones?
Or the one financial equation that can solve climate change?
Then check out our daily podcast, The Best One Yet, or as we call it, T-Boy.
This is Nick.
This is Jack.
And we pick the three most interesting business news stories every day for the perfect mix.
20 minutes each morning, you're going to feel brighter.
We call it Pop Biz, don't we, Jack?
Where pop culture meets business news. So whether you want to kick off a conversation with your buddies,
or you're going for that promotion at work,
or you just want to know the trends before your friends,
feel brighter by starting your morning with us every weekday.
Listen to The Best One Yet on the Wondery app or wherever you get your pods.
You can listen to The Best One Yet ad-free right now on Wondery Plus. For more deep dive and daily business content, listen on Wondery, the destination for business podcasts.
With shows like The Best One Yet, How I Built This, and many more, Wondery means business.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV true crime podcast, To Live and Die in LA. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What up? I am Dramos, host of the Life as a Gringo podcast. Now, this is a show for the No Sabo kids, the 200 percenters. Here we celebrate your otherness and embrace living in the gray area. If you ever felt like you were always too much this while also never being enough that, this is the podcast for you. Every Tuesday, I'll be bringing you conversations around personal growth, issues affecting the Latin community, and much more via my own personal stories, along with interviews with inspiring thought leaders from our community. Then, every Thursday, I'll be tackling trending stories and current events from our community that you need to know. So much of what makes our community so beautiful is our diversity, yet too often those of us who don't fit into this dumb some stereotypical box of whatever it means to be Latino are left without a voice or just forgotten about. On this show, I celebrate the uniqueness of our culture and invite you to walk in your authenticity. Listen to Life as a Gringo as a part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back. Mm-hmm. And today is a big day for Trump. He's doing court in the New York hush money case where jury selection was supposed to begin, but kind of everything's up in the air following a massive document dump belatedly delivered by the feds. But in addition to that one, Trump's $454 million is due. And if he doesn't pay up, Attorney General Letitia James will be cleared to start seizing his assets. And but, his lawyers have said it won't be delivered up, right?
Yeah, but here's the thing. Just now, it's been reported that he got a bit of an extension.
What?
He got 10 more days. He just got from an appellate court. He was just granted a 10-day extension. As long as he puts up $175 million first, you can get a 10-day extension. And then you do have to follow through with the appeal or else... no go. So I don't know, a bit of a lifeline. It's my friend's birthday, and I was like, oh, your birthday's the same day as when Trump might have to give up all his money. And now I'm like, god damn it, they just pushed it. Is everything a fucking joke here?
Yeah, it is.
So it I mean, honestly, I mean, like, I was just reading about that. I'm like, what the fuck? I thought we were but I shouldn't be surprised, because He's a little snake man who's able to wriggle and writhe his way out of things.
This has been his entire career, is like doing wrong and then just screaming at the top of his lungs at anybody who's thinking about showing him consequences. He spent Sunday railing about judgment from a Morning Post about how he should have zero fine because Judge Arthur Engoron is grossly incompetent and corrupt. To bashing Fox News, obviously, woke liberal Fox News, for not discussing the ridiculous nature of the ruling, to whining after midnight that the state shouldn't be allowed to take away and sell off very successful properties and assets that took me years to zone, build, and nurture into some of the best of their kind anywhere in the world, mm-hmm. when I have done nothing wrong.
Nothing wrong. Why should I be forced to sell my, quote, babies?
Yes. Called them his babies.
God. Like, his real kids are real disappointed. They're like, you've never even referred to me. You referred to me as some kid. Yes. But your inanimate objects are babies? Yes, let's be real. They have more value than you ever will, Eric.
We're seeing him get back to that schedule that he was on where, like, you could see the gaps where he would... another person would be sleeping and they're getting like smaller. He was up after midnight railing about this and then just like woke up at 7 a.m. and was once again railing about this.
Right.
Just went into shutdown mode for a few hours to let one half of his extremely smooth, addled brain to get some rest. But yeah, I don't think this is gonna like sink him in any way. Like, I don't think he's actually going to like be poor after this is all said and done. I probably not going to change many people's opinion of him, but it does seem to like bring out the thing in him that I don't think is like his supporters' favorite thing. Like,
no.
There's the like, I'm a billionaire, I like, I'm above it all type shit. And
right.
Then, like, when he's able to bully other people on their behalf, like that, right. I think that is the calculus that like gets them excited in their mind. But when he's just like being like whining about being victimized, like it,
yeah.
And it, the only anger is about his own money. Like, I feel like that can't be the thing that gets them excited to like vote for this guy.
No. You know? It'd be more effective to talk about how it's preventing him from making the country great again or something.
Right.
But he keeps harping, like, I have to sell my babies. They want my car. They want my golf course. Blah, 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 blah. You're just like, you just sound like fucking, I don't know, like it's like Steve Martin in The Jerk. It's like, I don't need anything except for this. I need this lamp. And I right. now I need this too. Like, you're just, it's hard to relate to. And again, Donald, you got to know this as an American, as a, I guess, you know, outwardly perceived wealthy American. If America doesn't think something, if the one thing America doesn't think is cool, it's being broke.
Right.
You know, that's yeah. like, that's woven into our fucked up culture is like, oh my God, you're broke? No, like, don't talk about that. Like, I don't want to hear about that.
Yeah.
And I don't know. Yeah. Again, I don't know how motivating it is. It's again, like to your point, it's not going to change people's opinion. Be like, oh no, but it's you're losing momentum by keep talking yeah. about like, wah, my millions of dollars. Wah.
Yeah.
But I'm a billionaire. I don't know. It's just not effective. Not going to be effective, but
right.
we shall see. I mean, like we talked to, like, I think last week, you know, the small dollar donations are drying up.
Yeah.
And so that on some level, that does indicate that people are less likely to be like, when he goes out with, you got to help me, they're trying to ruin me, I need your money now. And they know that this guy owes like almost $500 million. And like, yeah, probably not.
Right.
Like, it's just like, that's not, I don't know. Right. I'm seeing that as that's not motivating people. If suddenly there were all these small dollar donations, I'd be like, holy fuck.
Yeah. Yeah.
These people are yeah. fully in on this. Like, they don't. Like they see exactly the world as he does, but doesn't yeah. work that way.
Tough to tell if it's drying up because he's actually already taken them all for right. everything they're worth or,
yeah.
But yeah. All right. So Kate Middleton appeared on camera in a video statement, on Friday, I believe, yeah. revealing that cancer was found during her surgery. So as we talked about, you know, she announced early on in this whole saga, I'm going into the hospital for a surgery and I'll be in recovery for like some time and like out of the limelight.
Right.
That surgery apparently found cancer. And so she's been undergoing preventative chemotherapy. She did stop short of looking directly into the camera and saying, I didn't get a Brazilian butt lift, you motherfucking ghouls. but the implication was clear.
Yeah.
And also, like, you know, we should point out that she doesn't have cancer. It's just, it's kind of a technical thing. They discovered cancer. It was removed. She's being treated preventatively, but all the right. headlines are like, she's been diagnosed with cancer and that's not yeah, technically so true and probably not the best thing for her to be reading in a bunch of headlines.
Right, right. Oh, right. Because at first I was like, what does that mean? But I understand that there's a technical nuance there rather than being sure. like, I have been diagnosed with this specific cancer versus yeah. we saw something we'd had to remove and now we need to take preventative measures.
Yeah.
But I mean, yeah, I remember when I saw that headline or like first come up, I sent it through to our like group chat, like for everybody who works on the show. And I was like, oh boy. Well,
yeah,
it was the most human thing that it could have been.
Yeah.
Because I remember early on, it was just sort of like, it's maybe it's salacious or it's something to do with her health. And, yeah. but my God, I mean, it's the, like for the people who are like out there peddling sort of these like full blown, like I've got all the tea, like this is exactly what's happening. This is, blah, blah, blah. There's a lot of revisionism, yeah. going on too.
But there's also more op-eds that I've, than I can remember seeing where people are just straight up like, I'm ashamed. I fucked up. I'm sorry. Yeah.
I'm embarrassed. I mean, to a certain extent, I am too. Like, just by yeah. thinking of like, because at first, you know, it's like this fodder you get. And we have this thing with being humans and like where people we perceive as being quote unquote celebrities that they're like, I don't know, dude, like whatever. It's like they're for us to fucking talk about whatever it is.
Yeah.
And then like as it narrows in, it's like it's clear like the announcement wasn't coming out because there was something to do with like how she wanted to relay that to her kids. And you're like, oh my God, this is like the most human shit ever.
Yeah, yeah.
And yeah, and like as fun as looking at Photoshops and things where you're like reminded again, you're like, nah, like this is just, it's a combination of this person having real life struggles and also the palace not knowing what the Streisand effect is.
Right.
Yeah. Or
being
something
particularly bad at PR. I mean, we both called it out as like a possibility. Is like, well, it seems like there's a health thing happening and she asked for some time and then nobody is granting her that time. And then I also was like, but this, like, this feels like the Zapruder film, the way people are treating this Photoshop.
That her
and, like,
walking,
got
yeah,
sucked
everything.
In. So, like, yeah. Yeah, I'm ashamed of the way I got fucking sucked in. And, like, you know, it just feels like we talked about the Otani thing, I think, in one of the trending episodes. But everything feels like, in the absence of, like, all the details, the internet will take it to the story that would be the most, like, mind-blowing, like, move the most clicks, you know, like,
right
it, like, that just becomes the reality until you fill it in with all the details. So
yeah, and also, like, how movies inform that too, like, yes, like, even being like, oh yeah, this thing, it's this movie, like, right, that's what's happening, the plot of this film is what's happening, it's a Gone, yes, Girl situation, or it's Dave, or it's this other thing.
Yeah,
and yeah, yeah, it's, but again, it's like, really, it's interesting because with Charles, they just put an announcement out. They're like, the, you know, the king has cancer. They've been diagnosed with cancer.
Yeah.
And so, like, I think there's so many people being like, well, why didn't they just do that with Kate or whatever? And blah, blah, blah. It's like, well, where she's at in her life and what she was probably, again, trying to, I couldn't even begin to try and understand how you want to delicately explain that to, like, your young kids, is one thing. But then, like, once that fucking Photoshop fiasco went down,
yeah,
it just, like, intensified things to a degree that truly, like, we left Earth.
We left, yeah, Earth, we did,
there for a moment.
We did leave Earth for a little bit. And I think that is probably part of the appeal, is people want to leave Earth right now because it's, yeah, uncomfortable here. Hey, another way that people like to leave Earth is by going to the Cineplexes. And
yeah,
they went this weekend in slightly higher numbers than expected to see Ghostbusters Frozen Empire.
Yeah,
which made $45.2 million. You know, we all know that the real money's in the Ecto Cooler sales, but that's not bad.
Yeah,
for, you know, for this particular movie and based on expectations. Although it should be noted that it's actually, like, our writer JM was pointing out that all female reboot of of Ghostbusters.
That all female reboot.
That all female reboot.
That's how Ghostbusters Trump will win.
That actually did better than this, but
right
and was treated as a complete bomb, and this one is being treated as like, wow, it's better than we expected, pretty good job guys.
Oh wow, patriarchy is a hell of a drug, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, this one with my don't slag off my Dan Aykroyd now.
Yeah.
A friend of mine went to go see it in like that like 4DX. Have you seen one of those? Have you seen a movie and that
where
shit,
they like spit on you a little bit?
Yeah, yeah, like the fucking seats shake. She like sent me like a selfie video like as she was watching it. It was fucking throwing her ass around, like,
wow.
And she's like, it's fucking snowing now in here, there's, I was just getting a play-by-play, she's like, it's all smoke.
Yeah.
And I'm like, maybe that's one way to watch it, but again, but even her review is tepid at best of the film.
Yeah,
she's like, yeah, I don't
the
know,
reviews seem to be pretty mid. There haven't been a ton of great Ghostbusters movies at this point. It feels kind of like Terminator. In that, like, we had a couple classics and then they couldn't quit it. Yeah, just can't quit.
They just can't quit the G Busters.
The other movie that was released this weekend that didn't do quite as well, it only made $5.3 million, but it won the internet, was this new Sydney Sweeney religious horror film, Immaculate, in which she plays a nun. And the reason it got so much attention, obviously anything Sydney Sweeney right now is blowing up because like her being attractive has like somehow become a internet or like a political issue where like I can't quite get my head around like what the right wing take on this is. It feels like they're like, yeah, you don't even want us to look at her boobs. But then like, they're also, there's like some weird white supremacist stuff that's like, you actually shouldn't be into her. And yeah, it's really confused. Like they just
go to bed, right wing.
Yeah. They really need to take a nap, it feels like.
Because I remember they're like, oh yeah, the boobs are back in town. And they're like, And we're back, baby. Conservatism is back. Because finally, the blue-eyed, blonde-haired, buxom actress is what is normal. And we don't have to look at these other freaks anymore. I remember that was sort of like the initial take after that SNL appearance.
Yeah. So this movie really received a lot of attention because the role is could be read as sort of upsetting to the right. Intentionally.
Right.
Attacking right-wing values. And there is this tweet from at Aurora Faced, who tweeted, "Libs saw how the anti-woke crowd embraced Sydney Sweeney as their new darling and right away had to shove her in this blasphemous, satanic, feminist, pro-abortion, anti-life movie degrading Christians. This movie also debases Mary, Mother of Christ. Don't bother watching." And so it just assumes a level of like that it takes like 5 days to conceive, produce,
cash,
shoot,
edit,
release a movie. But it's working as marketing. The Neon, the distributor, released a t-shirt with Sydney Sweeney's face and that quote down the side of it. So
is she okay? She's in back-to-back bombs right now.
I know. Yeah. I don't know.
I know that people were saying that like actually the Madam Web thing was actually very shrewd on her part because she was basically
Madam Web.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
As I did not realize that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. She's in Madam Web too.
Wow.
that's how hush the whole thing was. She was one of the characters in Madam Web. And a lot of people were like, why do that? Why are you doing this? But people were saying like it was like a career move that basically like getting closer to Sony Pictures. I think she's going to be Barbarella and she's going to have like some other like really big leading roles. They're like, you gotta fucking eat one, you know, before you can take the big swings up there.
Wow.
But yeah. I can't. Yeah. You just memory hold that. You're like, she was. You were sincerely shocked when I just said that. You're like, huh?
I had totally missed her in the supporting role, and maybe that's because I've been brainwashed by the woke media to not appreciate how hot she is and notice her. You know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think that's probably what happened. So that's I blame NPR.
I blame NPR. But yeah, it's a setup move. I mean, I guess, I think Barbarella was like one of the bigger upcoming films that she'll
It's kind of funny that there are like all these headlines that are like, Sydney Sweeney says it was just a business move that she was in Madam Web, like that she needs to explain. Like,
yo, easy,
a movie that tanked so hard that they're
don't
like,
sit yet.
Hey, so like, why did you do that movie? Explain yourself.
Right. Yeah. Don't say that during the press tour for the film. Oh yeah, just first of all, I was only in this shit for my career. Like this shit sucks. But
yeah,
Barbarella's coming out. You heard about it in 2022. That shit's coming out. I'm gonna be in it. So, you know, keep your eye out. Like aye, Captain.
Anyone But You, I think, did pretty well. So
I think that one did. That's Glenn
with
Powell, right?
Glenn Powell with the video where they're like being cutesy about like it's my movie. No, it's my movie. That was brutal. That movie made $214 million.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So,
hey man, you're up, you're down, you're up, you're down. I'll tell you that. But yeah, Sydney, I take it. You're going to be fine. Just hope the Barbarella thing does make me a little bit hesitant because we're doing so many reboots, so many fucking reboots that it, I don't know, man. Like people can't even get jiggy with the Ghostbusters anymore.
You know what? I think I'm so, taking it back to the beginning of this episode, I think I'm so 80s movie brand. Brian, the editor, was pointing out that in the trailer, Sydney Sweeney is wearing like glasses and plays kind of like a nerd. And I think my brain is so affected by like those movies that in the way that, you know, take the glasses off and they're like, whoa, she's pretty.
No
that
way.
Actually happened to me with her.
Wow.
I'm sorry. I'm going to need glasses removed and a shake of the hair to confirm that that is Sydney Sweeney.
Yeah, the hair has to be in a bun of some kind, pulled back. The glasses come off.
Whoa. I always make fun of the people in the Superman universe for not recognizing Clark Kent as Superman. But
and here you
are. Turns out I would be the first person to be like, it can't be him. He's wearing glasses and his hair is parted on the other side.
Oh, so she's a Spider-Man? Yeah. You're watching the movie, friend. Okay.
Yeah. Just watching the movie out loud.
Yeah.
Whoa. Sydney Sweeney. I do every time she appears on screen, I have to point her out, like you're driving and you see a cow, you know?
Or like a punch buggy.
Yeah.
Do people still do that? Punch buggy?
I don't know. Punch buggy.
Are we still punching each other in the backseat of a car because we saw a Volkswagen? Is that sort of thing on road trips?
I mean, I'm trying to keep it alive with my kids. I punch them every time.
Yeah.
I see it,
they punch you and shit while you're driving. Like, hey, not in the ear. Don't open hand slap me right on my ear. That's very dangerous.
My kid went for the wheel the other day while we were driving like on the highway.
Like Trump on January 6th.
All right. Those are some of the things that are trending on this Monday, March 25th. We are back tomorrow with a whole ass episode of the show, talking to Sarah Marshall from You're Wrong About.
Yes.
A really fun episode. So we will talk to y'all then. Until then, be kind to each other. Be kind to yourselves. Get the vaccine. Mm-hmm. Get your flu shot. Don't do nothing about white supremacy. And we will talk to y'all tomorrow. Bye.
Bye.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and my podcast Climbing in Heels is back and better than ever. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. Climbing in Heels is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.